We'll be in a couple places tonight. We're going to be in Genesis. Yeah, Genesis chapter 25 for just a short bit. And then we'll go into the New Testament for a short bit. We'll be in two different places tonight. Like I said, the Old Testament for a little bit and the New Testament. And we'll see where we go with this thing. And because I want you to pay attention, because as much responsibility is upon us as believers on our responsibility. And we're going to take this story and I'm going to show you how it can kind of relate to your life today. And we'll go from there. But we're going to pick up Jacob and Esau. And we'll pick it up in verse 29 of chapter 25. So I have NIV version tonight. So in verse 29, starting there, it says, "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished, and he said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.'" This is why he is also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "And look, I'm about to die," Esau said. What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore on the oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, and he ate and drank, and then he got up and he left. So Esau despised his birthright. We see the story here of two brothers growing up together, and they kind of didn't like each other too much. And we see one is a kind of a one is the deceiver, one is an out guy. They're just two different guys, but they have the same parents, and they struggled growing up together. I believe they struggled growing up together. There is some favoritism from the father on one, favoritism from the mother on the other. But without all of that stuff, all the other things that are part of that, we're going to kind of push all that aside, because we can go into a lot of verses even before that and after about these two guys. But I want to look at this one point here tonight, here, where there came a moment where Jacob, yes, he said, "I want that birthright. I have some food. Here it is. You can have it, but you got to sell me your birthright. You have to give it to me." And here's the thing. Esau gave it to him. Esau, it was his birthright. It was for him. He was the oldest. He was the guy. And he turns around and sells it for a meal. This is a very, very simple, I'm going to come down to you tonight. This is a very, very simple message. This is a very simple piece. But I have a tendency to believe that many of us Christians today are doing the same thing Esau did. We're doing the exact same thing. We're selling out what God has given to us, what we are called to be Christians. We're selling it out for what the world has to offer. Not all Christians, but I think a lot of Christians are selling out. We're selling out for a show. We're selling out for the good thing that makes us feel good today. He was famished. You think his brother would have turned around and said, "Hey, man, you're hungry. You can have some of mine." Regardless, where he was nice, cold about it, or cynical about it, or even just mean about it, whatever, it still came down to Esau selling it out, selling his birthright out for something that he wanted right now. We are doing the same thing in the American church today. We are doing the same thing. And how do I know that? Because I see the church today. I see it here at New Life. We're selling it out all the time. Football is a game. You cannot remember last week. You might remember who won last week, but you can't remember all the who wins and who losses. You can't remember last year's. We're putting our faith in the things that don't last, things that we forget about, but we're selling those things out. And people that continue to not worship the Lord and say they're believers and they have stopped, and their worship attendance is like really, really far out from the last time they came. Let me tell you, the world will pull you away. It won't pull you away always like it does everybody else real, real fast, but the world will pull you away, and will pull you away one step at a time. And we will sit there and we will try to figure out how to work through that. And what we will do, many of us will, we will sell out what God has for us. We will sell out the plan that God has for us because of the fear, we don't have enough faith. We will sell out whatever it is that's been put in front of us, and Satan will want you to sell it out. Sell your body out for this guy here. He'll take care of you for a moment. Sell you out for this girl. He'll take care of you for a moment. We sell out so much as Christians. It is unbelievable. And the cost is always higher than we think it is at the moment. It is always higher at the moment. Later on, these two brothers, Esau wants to kill his brother now. And so his brother takes off, and he goes off into the land, and he gets a new life. But they end up coming on the crossroads and meeting each other again. And Jacob is afraid because he knows that he deceived his brother, but he hasn't seen his brother in so long. And here we see this piece where they come back in and they run to each other, kind of, and he puts all these people in between each other, but they end up hugging each other, and they try to work that out for a minute, but Jacob says, wait a minute, I know what I did to my brother. So anyway, they try to work that out, but still we see that these two brothers, it was never the same. And so we see that Esau sold his birthright out. I even mentioned it this morning. If you go back, if you take a moment and you go back to Hebrews, and Hebrews is in the New Testament, chapter 12, it says this. He says, afterwards, verse 17, as you know, when Esau wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Because he did want a blessing from his father, but he'd already given it to Jacob because he sold it to Jacob. Okay, and of course, Jacob deceived his father as well. But he said he wanted a blessing, any kind of blessing, but he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. I read that this morning. He even though through tears he wanted to have a blessing, but it didn't change because he sold it. He sold it. What God has given to you, God has given to you. You understand that? What God has given to you, God has given to you. You know that we should always have peace in the Lord, always? You get rid of it when you start trying to grab something from the world. The peace that God gives to us comes from Him. And that's just one thing. We need to be careful of the things that God has given to us so we don't sell it out. God has given us this building here to worship with. We don't sell it out. We use it for His glory and for His will. We use this building. We use the other buildings for His glory and His will. We need to do that because He's given those things to us. We don't sell it out. We don't sell it out. Listen, I know that there are some churches here in Huntington, I'm not even going to tell you how much money that they put in their sound system. And here's the thing: Well, they were asked why they put so much money in their sound system, and the answer was this: because we need to keep the young people satisfied. They like the hip. They like the now. They like the live music. They like it loud. They like lots of lights. I'm not interested in that. We have lights. Oh, we use them when we need to. Sometimes we might use them in a play or a cantata once in a blue moon. But that's not the most important thing, is it? That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is your relationship with Jesus Christ, keeping it where it needs to be, and it will continue to grow. God has given us many things. But we as Christians are selling out so much, and we need to stop doing that. We need to watch how we deal with that. God has given you so much. We're afraid to move with what God has. We're afraid that God's not going to show up. Well, God's going to show up and do what He's going to do, which takes me over to Matthew. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to find a piece of what Jesus says. You all know that Jesus did a lot of miracles, right? Amen? When Jesus walked on this earth, He did more miracles. My goodness, He did so many miracles. It reminds me of the myriad image of what God did with the people of Israel when He took them out of Egypt. Those people saw more miracles in the Old Testament than anybody else. The people, when Jesus was walking upon the earth, they saw more miracles with Jesus than they did any other time. Because it was amazing. But Jesus has something to say about something, and we don't talk about this much. But he has something to say, and there's some scriptures about what He has said. And it's not really good stuff. You see, I love the salvation story. It is key number one. I love the things that God tells me that He gives to us. I love those things. I love His promises. I love those things. I love the part that we get to go to heaven. I love the part about my sins are forgiven. I love the part that I'm loved every day. But there's some parts in God's Word that we need to wake up. And I'm not just saying it's you. I'm just saying we as Christians, we need to wake up. Our churches need to wake up. Our communities need to wake up. And here it is. It says in verse 20, it says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of His miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Jesus begins to renounce the cities that he just did all these miracles in. He's saying things about these cities. He did all these awesome miracles. He'd given them the blessing. He's giving them the miracle. He shows his power. He shows the Lord's power through his hands and through his words. He walks there into their communities, and their communities are changed for a moment. They've received the blessing. They've received the miracles. They've seen the miracles. But he says, the Bible says that Jesus began to denounce these cities. He began to denounce them because what? Because they refused, because they would not repent. What that's saying is, they were all sinners, and God knows that. And Jesus comes into the community, and he begins to do some miracles. Because of the awesomeness of the miracles, you think that that would change lives, right? It did change the lives of those who the miracles were changed. Some of them began to walk again. Some of them began to see again. Some of them began to do other things. Some of them were sick. And so we see this piece here that he denounces them because they would not repent. And they wouldn't repent. They looked at it as a show. They looked at it as the new entertainment. They looked at it as, I didn't get mine. Or they looked at it as, wow. And they never really got into it, never grabbed hold of it. But he says this because they did not repent. But he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No. You will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. That is some pretty harsh words. I don't know if you get that or not. That's Sodom and Gomorrah, where God destroyed those cities because of sexual sin. But what Jesus was saying is, if the miracles that I performed in your city, if I would have done them in Sodom, those people would have repented. He didn't say Gomorrah, but he did say Sodom. It would have repented. And God knows people, right? God knows people. And what he's saying is, you take my miracles, yet you don't learn from them. You don't worship. You don't learn from them. And what you do is you aren't even taking it. And you're basically selling out. We're selling out. You know, there is really truly not enough churches in this community. If most of us who claim to be Christians would get up and go to church on Sunday, there is not enough churches. We would all be full. But the American people love to say that they're a Christian. Do you not hear that too? Or am I the only one who hears that? We hear that. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But our actions show what we believe, right? Our actions show what we believe. I grew up with some people that said, my church is on Sunday. I said, oh, what church do you go to? It's NFL. It's the National Football League. That's my church. I'm like, wow. But you know what? I thought about that, and I was like, they're not the only one, right? They're not the only one. Okay? There is a wake-up call coming for the American church. There's a wake-up call coming for the world church. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just letting you know. And God sees it, that he knows that there have been miracles performed in the cities. And the more that God does, the more accountable that we are in what he has done. You're more accountable to him. When God has done some great things in your life, we're not just supposed to sit back and not do anything with it. We're supposed to take it, accept it, receive it, give God praise for it, share that testimony with other people, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Share the goodness of God. Because he says this. He says in verse 28, he says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you the rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do we make it so hard? We make it harder than it's supposed to be. Jesus even says this. He even says, come to me. It's not as hard as you think it is. You know why it's hard? Because we hang on to the sinful lifestyle. We hang on to the sinful things that we feel will help us in life, that we get pulled to. It's almost like Esau selling out the good part of your life, the birthright, and giving up something that's not, you're getting that immediate satisfaction, and it don't last long, and then what happens is you begin to despise it. you begin to despise it. I can go just even in this church. I even can just tell you who used to sit in those places, in those pews and places like that. And I want to tell you, most of them are not even going to church anymore at all. So what's that tell you? What's that tell me as a pastor? One is the relationship cannot be with just the church. Can't do it. Your relationship must be first with the Lord Jesus Christ. For sometimes we move because of a job, and sometimes things happen in churches, and we move and we go to another church. But most, and the ones that I can sit there and do this to, and I know and I see their faces, and sometimes I even think I see their faces when I'm preaching, but they're not here. But I know them so well, I remember them so well, but they're not here. Why are they not here? Well, a lot of reasons, but I will tell you this. Most of them are not attending a church today. Most of them are not attending a church today. And if they are attending, they are not as faithful as they were. And if they are attending and they're not as faithful, they are not serving like they used to. And you know why? Because you can't do it your way. You have to do it God's way. If God's called you to a church, you stay at that church. And then people will leave. And you know, listen, if you said God called you to that church, you're in the box of God's will. When you step out of God's will and you say, I'm going to do my own thing, you're out of God's will. I'm telling you, you can't. Picking churches is not like going to McDonald's and picking your meal. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. Does everybody stay at the same church forever? No. No. God pulls and uses people. I've been a part of three, four different churches. Four different churches in my life. And God had moved me to each one of those. And it's good. God moves you. You do what you need to do and you go. But you don't go because you want to go. You don't go because you think this is going to taste better or they got a better music program. You know, someone told me, he says, well, if you want live music, you got to get a band in there and then more musicians will come. Well, I said, well, that doesn't sound right. And they said, yeah, musicians follow musicians. I'm like, wow. I thought we as musicians who worship the Lord are supposed to follow the Lord. I keep hearing these things all the time. It's about, okay, and people that have kids are always trying to follow, you know, youth are always trying to find the best youth program in the community. Well, I didn't know we had to find the best youth community in the community. I thought we had to find out where the Lord is leading us. Okay? We need to follow the Lord. Okay? One church may be a little bit more ceremonial. It's okay. One church may be a little bit more louder than music. It's okay. It's where God has called you to be, that you are there and you are serving and you are faithful. So let me go back for a moment. Then Jesus began to denounce cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. What is going on in Huntington? What do you think really is going on in the community of Huntington? The community of Huntington has a lot of churches. Fort Wayne is called the City of Churches. The City of Churches. What's going on in the communities? There's more churches in this area. There's lots of churches. Like I said, a lot of people claim to be Christians. A lot of people say they're Christians. It's not always what you say, it's what you do. It's not always what you say, it's where you're at. I'm going to find myself faithful in the church. I'm going to find myself faithful to the Lord in my worship time. I need the worship time, just like you do. It's just like I said this morning, many of us are struggling with those practical things in the world. We struggle with those practical things that we talked about this morning. I'm going to read a couple of these to you in the book of Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is the law book, okay? Just want to share a couple with you. It's the law book, okay? There's a veil. The law was there to show us what was right and what was wrong, okay? Sin, not sin, okay? Book of Judges said people did what they thought was right in their own mind, okay? So we struggled, people struggled, but this was the law that God gave. I'm just going to read a few things here. And just like this morning, we talked about people in prison. We talked about all kinds of things that we are supposed to do. And we're supposed to love each other as brothers. But the practical parts are the things that we're forgetting. Now, I want to tell you, the book of the law, Leviticus, this is for us to know right from wrong. Now, do we do all the ceremonial things? No. Jesus Christ came. We're engrafted. There's a whole lot of things I just said when I said the word engrafted. into the family of God. But I want to read a couple of things here because these things are here because they're good for us, okay? I want to see if they tweak a little bit of your mind right now, okay? Just because I want you to think about the culture today. We talked about the social world, really, a little bit this morning. I want you to think about the social world today in Christianity, okay, today. And I want you to come back and I want you to think about the way maybe some of us that are maybe over a little bit older than most of you, I want you to think about the way it used to be. And I'm not saying used to be is the best way, okay? But I want you to watch and see how we drifted, okay? How we drifted so much. Let's see. Well, we're going to be in Leviticus. Let's go in chapter 19. I'm just going to pick a couple of these. Oh, we're going to go. Let's go back to 18. I hit this morning. Don't hate me for it, but it is God's word. Okay? Don't hate me for it, but it is God's word. I'm telling you, God's word can be pretty strong at times. But you don't want to know? If you're a believer and you're walking with the Lord, guess what? It gives you a peace and understanding. If you're living this way, guess what? As an understanding, and there's a conviction in our life. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from, it's not my conscience. It comes from the conviction. It comes from the Holy Spirit, right? So let's look at this. In chapter 18 of Leviticus, okay? Some of these we would not have to talk about because they're talking about sacrificing your children to gods and idols. And that's not really going on today. Thank the Lord for that. Verse 22, it says, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. God says that's detestable. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. Okay? Verse 23, do you not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it? A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. But he says in verse 24, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. This is how, God says, this is how a country becomes, a nation becomes defiled. When the sin, the sexual sins begin to rise up, okay? And right now, and so even the land was defiled. So I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. So God scattered the people. And a lot of this had to do with the sexual sins that were going on, and it was detestable before the Lord. Okay? Those are some things. Now, like I said, remember how we've moved from the previous years, decades, to where we are today. We continue to look at that. Now, in chapter 19. Now, some of these are going to go back, and they're always going to be here. In verse 16, it says, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Basically, that's that word called gossiping. We're not supposed to gossip about one another. Okay? Now, that one there, I think, has been always around, and we're going to struggle with that one because we don't know how to keep our mouth shut from time to time. We just need to learn how to do that. Okay? We don't need to slander one another. We just don't need to do that. But he says in verse 28, now don't beat me up for it, and I'm not going to jump on you for it. I just want to tell you, it says, do not cut your bodies for the dead. We don't do that. Okay? Or put tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. Because your body is a temple of the living God, right? God doesn't dwell in temples built by men, but in the body form, okay? In the temple, that's us, all right? Right? Do not, verse 29, do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. You don't think that happens? That happens. I've heard those stories before. Verse 30, observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Did you read that? Observe my Sabbaths. Now, I'm not going to jump on anybody. I'm just telling you, just listen to me real quick. But listen to me with an open heart, please. And have reverence for my sanctuary. That means we need to treat God's sanctuaries right. Okay? Because he says, I am the Lord. Verse 31, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. I'm just looking at verse 30 and 31. It just hit me today. All I did was drive to Walmart in Fort Wayne and drove back, and I seen these two things right off the bat. For verse 30, it says, I have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now, I have reverence for my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I'm going by, I'm seeing the church, I see the signs out. I don't want to ridicule them, but you know, what you put on your digital sign, is what people's going to see, right? If you want to put out there, Dairy Queen wants to put out there, it's a half sandwiches Friday or whatever it is, or get lunch for $4 between 2 and 4, that's what you see. And you don't see anything else, but that's what you see. What I saw today was, we're playing cards on Friday, we're having a food stand on Saturday, and it was something else about and it was nothing in there about the Lord. It was all about the fun stuff and all about those things. And guess what? For a moment, it would be, okay, that's what they're going to do this weekend, but it's there every week. It's the same sign every week. They're trying to get me to come. They're trying to get that people in the neighborhood to come to their meet, to their outside meals, to their cafe, and to their fun things. But the Lord, I don't see the Lord ever on their sign. Am I judging them? I'm judging them from what I see. I guess I am. But I know what a church is supposed to be. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a cafe. I'm not saying it's wrong to have those meals. I'm saying it's wrong for people to want to play cards. But I'm saying it's wrong when the church throws up the sign and that's what they're advertising week after week after week. And I watched this church go downhill. I watched this church. The numbers in the parking lots went super far down. I watched it. And I was hoping that, you know, and I pray for other denominations and churches, and they're around my neighborhood. And all of a sudden, now they're coming up. But they're only coming up at the cafe, the things that I'm seeing, because I drive by them every Sunday, and I watch. I was like, man, they're just coming up on those things. And if that's what the people want to turn a sanctuary into, I wonder what the Lord thinks about that. Because he says, observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. And also, when I drove to Walmart on Jefferson Point today, I drove by a medium spiritualist place out on Nutman today. I was in Covington today. Says, do not turn to mediums. And they were having classes today, and the parking lot was full. The parking lot was full. You see, people are interested in the unknown. They are interested in things that are of higher power. People are very interested in those things. But I will tell you, when people get and they start learning of the Lord, they start seeing that they're sinful. They start seeing those things. People don't want to deal with that. They want to get the things of the riches of the world to get even with those who got back, who had done something to them. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. God is telling us practically, he's telling us his word, you don't do that. Now, some of us here maybe have gotten on a Ouija board before. Don't do that. Some of us here looked at tarot cards. Don't do that. There is a dark power in that, and it will defile you. It makes you messy. Makes you unclean before the Lord. He also says in verse 32, rise in the presence of the aged. Oh my. We're supposed to rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly. That's what we're supposed to do. He says, I'm your God. I am the Lord. I'm telling you, we're supposed to give honor. I'm not seeing that today. We're supposed to open the door for those who are elder. We're supposed to wait upon them, give them an opportunity. We're supposed to do that. These are just some practical things that I think we've forgotten that we are supposed to be a part of, things we do and what we don't do as Christians. And we struggle with those today. And we see a lot of our brothers and sisters doing those things. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. Now, we don't do that today. But God said that's the way it was. That's the way it was. We don't do that. We don't curse our father and our mother, even though they've done some bad things. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife and his wife, both of the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. If that happened, then our churches would not have as many people in them. God's grace is awesome. God's grace is amazing. If anyone sleeps with his father's wife, he has dishonored his father, but both the man and the woman must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. God said it's on their own heads. They did it. It just goes on and on and on. And a lot of this is a sexual part. And today, as I said this morning, we're struggling in America on our sexual identity. We're trying to accept everything. The churches today, many denominations are trying to accept it because they're afraid their numbers are going to shrink. They're afraid their finances are shrinking. Let me tell you, we said it this morning. The word doesn't change, right? Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. The word is still the same, okay? If you were born a man, you are a man. If you are born a woman, you're a woman, okay? Now, is there things in our minds and things that pulls us? Yes, that's part of life. And people may have and I've known some people who've even been married that struggle with homosexuality and those things, and they said, well, they just struggle with it, but it doesn't mean they're acting on it. We can struggle with things. We can be tempted by things, but we don't want to act on those things. And I go back to seeing Esau selling his birthright. What does all that have to do with it? We are exchanging what God has given to us for something that God has not intended for us either to have, or it was given to us. If it was given to us by God, we're giving it away. We're trying to get things that are not for us. We're not following the will and the ways of the Lord. We're struggling. The American church is struggling. Have you seen how far the church has went from where it was to where it is today? The church is accepting sin inside the church. Now, I believe that we are to love on sinners, because we're all sinners. We're either a sinner lost, sinner saved by grace. We're all sinners. Okay? But we as a church cannot turn around. We need to love on the people that come into the church, but we cannot get to this place where we say sin is okay. We cannot get to the place where we say that living lifestyle in a sexual way is okay. It's not okay. You are bought at a price. You're no longer yours. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God purchased you with His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His life for you. You are now His. And He tells you that we are to be different. We are to live our body. We're to respect that body because it is the temple of the living God. We need to keep the things that God has given to us, not be a sellout. We need to be solid. That doesn't make us better than anybody else, but it makes us who God wants us to be. And you need to be in the wheelhouse of God's wheelhouse. You need to be in His box of His will. And we step out of that, we find ourselves in trouble. And this is why I can tell you. I can't tell you names. I can't tell you sins. But I can tell you, I know where they're sitting, where they used to sit at. And a sin, usually it's a major sin in their life that drew them away. And it isn't that this church pushed them away. It's that they began to sell out what God's given to them, as Esau did, sell it out for a moment of a good time. Sell it out. The Bible says there's a season. Sometimes sin is over for a season. It seems to be, it feels good. But that season ends. Every season, every change of season, my asthma hits me every time. I got to get prednisone. I don't like it. But that's the way it is in sin. Your sin, that good time in sin, will not last. It will not last because it's not going to last. Because sin is not going to let you have that good of a time. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. It always does. It always does. Someone may say, well, Pastor Jimmy, what do you think about divorce? What do you think about, you know, I can't help it that my parents got a divorce. I can't help it that I'm angry with somebody that did something to me. You know, an uncle or you're a female and an uncle did something to you when you were growing up, or a father did something. I can't fix all of those, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that God's Word has a lot to say about that. The first, I will tell you this, vengeance is the Lord's. I know that's hard. Vengeance is the Lord's, okay? Leave room for God for His vengeance, okay? We got to let God have that, all right? Our battle is, can we forgive? Now, and I know I'm not in your place. I'm not in your place. But I'm telling you, you are not the first person to go through what you're going through or what you've been through. God has been through that with many people. He knows people, okay? He knows people. But I know this. God has a way of helping people and restoring people. And when we come to Christ, the Bible says we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The world, the devil, your own mind will times that will try to remind you of who you are in the world. But God's Word will always remind you who you are in Christ. There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your life. There's a battle for what's going on in your life. If you're a negative person, That's not of the Spirit. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit is the other things, love and gentleness and forgiveness, all the things that is there. You see, we are fighting a battle every day. Every day. Not to sell out that birthright. And individually, we're fighting that battle. As a city, we're trying to fight this battle as a city where Jesus says he denounces those places. Most of the places where he did his miracles. He denounces most of the places where he did the miracles because they did not repent. They would not repent. They took the good stuff and they wouldn't change their life. They would not walk away from the sin. So it's just not about us individually. It's also about us as a city. But it's also, and I don't have time to go through it. I had a piece for about the church, but I just don't have time for it. But there's even parts with the church. And in short, we're brothers and sisters in the same family. We are to carry one another's burdens. And if someone is in sin today, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to aggress. If we do, we need to take, the Bible says we need to take somebody with us. And we do it in love. Then I want to tell you, that's one of the hardest things to do, is to tell someone about their sin, because I believe this, most Christians know if they're doing something sinful, don't you agree? Because even if they're not smart, even if we're not smart enough, the Holy Spirit tells us that we are. If we're true believers, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts that we're not living right. But I think we've done we put a veil on it, and I think we've struggled in our walk. I think we've struggled with being Christians, because like I said before, we've been cutting this social Christianity instead of the biblical Christianity. And we gotta work that out. And there's a difference today. You have believers over here that believe in the social stuff, that they believe that everything is okay and God is all loving, that everybody is acceptable and everything is acceptable and you accept them. And over here you got these guys over here who say, no, we need to go by the word of God. We need to be strong. We need to be going, we need to live by faith. We need to live and be an example. We need to be bright and shining stars. As Philippians says, you're bright shining stars. You shine into the darkness. The gospel is here, but the gospel over here is a lukewarm gospel. Not that we don't stop loving them, but we need to work together. We don't sell out the birthright. We don't sell out the things that God's given to us. Because I believe that we'll stand before God and give an account. I believe I will stand before God and give an account as a pastor of this church for however long I have. I also believe that I will stand and give an account for this community. I believe that we will stand and give an account for this community. Was it all about me or was it all about what the Lord wanted? This community needs to know who the Lord is. And there's so many people that say they're believers, but they're not acting like it. They're not acting like it. Now, is ours to go out and point fingers at who shouldn't be doing what? Who does this is wrong, that's wrong? No. But through preaching, how do we know right from wrong? Except through preaching and teaching and the reading of the Word on your own time. We need those times. We need those moments. Now, why did I come through today and speaking? Like I told you this morning, I would preach different this morning today than I normally do. And I think I have. But I'm doing it for this purpose. I'm doing it for this purpose. We are changing. And we need to step up. I'm not saying you're not doing anything. We need to step it up. We need to pull our bootstraps up. We need to tighten up the things, tighten up our belts, get ready, because we are getting ready to move forward and get going even in new directions. And we're going to need people that's going to stand up in some new positions. It's going to feel weird to some of you because I haven't talked to a lot of you yet. I'm meeting with some of you as leaders on a regular basis. And I haven't even had a staff meeting since I come back, because staff meeting, it'll be there, but it's not right now. I'm just trying to get some things together because we need to be ready. We need to be ready. You see, the Bible says when we grow up and we become Christians, just like being a child, right? And we get the milk, okay? And then there's a time when you're like, we got to get off the milk. And then we got to start eating those more solid foods. And then we start eating meat. God has given us a great task in this community. He is giving us a task that is bigger than ourselves, that we must rely upon Him. We must rely upon the Lord to complete these things. And how are we going to do it if we don't step up to the task? How are we going to do it if we don't step into the faith that God's called us to step out on? He's not calling us to be this great and mighty church. He's calling us to be and do the things He's called us to do, and do great and mighty things, but do it in His power, not in our power. Now, I don't know where you are. I know where I am, mostly, but I've always got to lean on the Lord. I've kind of like pulled in different directions, but I know this. God has been faithful the whole time. God has been faithful to New Life Fellowship the whole time. He has done many miracles in this church. If you was to see, you, many of you have seen those, been part of those. Some of us have been blinded. Some of us have veils. We heard about it, but we never believed it. We saw it, and we never believed it. But God is doing great things in the lives of people in this church, but he's also doing great things in New Life itself. And I'm really hoping that your eyes are going to be open to start seeing it, because I need more people to see it. Not what I'm trying to do, but what God is doing here in this community. I don't know if you know, but God has got you just need to keep praying, because I'm not revealing anything yet. Because I know this, God has got a big task in front of us. And it's not about do. It's about being obedient and following the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this before I close. What great man did God ever give anything to? God used great men of the world to supply God's people. God didn't use, not too many times do you see great men in God's word. Great men that mean the men of the world that were great in the world. I don't want to be great in the world. This church don't need to be great in the world. It needs to be all that God has created it to be. Amen? To be what he's purposed his church to be. And you need to be what God's called you to be. All right? So practical teaching this morning. Let's stand. God's got something. He's touching you on your heart.